God's Word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. This is Will Rice, and First Light is a brief Bible challenge encouraging you to read God's Word, to think about God's Word, and to live it in real life. So I'm kind of a sentimental guy. I like tradition. I like family traditions, and I like the kind of the rhythms of life that help you to know where you are in the year and where you are in life. So, for instance, at Christmas, I have a number of family traditions that I really cherish. I really value them. We take a vacation each year in August, and there are some things about that vacation that are very precious to me indeed. So I like tradition. I'm all about tradition. But all of us have to decide what will be the driving authority for our lives, whether it's going to be some tradition or what we've always done, or whether it's something deeper than that, more meaningful than that. In 2 Chronicles chapter 29 and chapter 30, you find kind of a battle between tradition, what we've always done, and authority, what God has said as the governing vector in the life of two different kings. Ahaz was a king that the Bible says provoked the anger of the Lord God of his fathers. He shut the doors of the temple and never turned back. For whatever reason, his son Hezekiah had a better heart. It is worthy of note that oftentimes when a king is introduced, the Bible will tell us straightway how old he was, how long he reigned, and whether he was a good king or a bad king. It also tells us who his mother was, which may be one of the major factors in why kings turn out to be a good or a bad king, so that sometimes a good king could have a bad son, or a bad king could have a good son. So wicked King Asa had a son who turned out to be a man who was not perfect, but he had a heart for God. He opened the doors of the temple that his father had basically shut. And the Bible tells us of this in 2 Chronicles chapter 29, where the Bible says Hezekiah began to reign when he was 5 and 20 years old. And he reigned 9 and 20 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Abijah, the daughter of Zechariah. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that David his father had done. Now the Bible's making kind of a picture, or a picture is worth a thousand words. And so you know automatically the kind of king that he started out to be, because he was like David. He was not like his actual father, King Asa. He was more like his great, you know, his ancestor, David. The Bible goes on to say that he sought God, he opened the doors of the temple, he began to clean out the temple. And what follows in the next two chapters is a real contrast between what the fathers had always done, that is the traditions of men, the orthodoxy, what seemed to be right because it's what we've always done, and the Word of God through David, through seers, through prophets, through the law of Moses. And we won't take the time to look at all those, but if you look at 2 Chronicles chapters 29 and 30, you will find a running contrast between the traditions of men, the traditions of the kings of this divided kingdom, and the authority of what God had actually said. I suppose that contrast is brought to a head in verse 26 of chapter 30, where the Bible says, "So there was great joy in Jerusalem, for since the time of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, there was not the like in Jerusalem." In other words, for the first time since King Solomon, they had come back to more of the worship that God had instituted in the first place. Shortly after King Solomon, there was a king named Jeroboam, and Jeroboam had basically begun a tradition that was contrary to the word and law of God, and he did it for political expediency. And so there are numerous kings for hundreds of years that did the wrong thing. They did not worship God Jehovah in the prescribed way. And the Bible will often say of such kings, he walked in the ways of Jeroboam. So here's a king after many a year, Hezekiah, who had a heart for God and to return to what God had said. Now look, tradition is fine, but tradition is not the law of God. In churches, we have quite a bit of tradition, and there's nothing wrong with that. Sometimes I think, though, we make such an emphasis on tradition that we forget what the real authority is. And it's much easier to throw off tradition than to throw off the law of God. And therefore, when I make my arguments based on, well, this is what we've always done, it is very easy for people who may not be doing the right thing to dismiss you because, after all, well, hey, it's just a tradition. in church services. We often see a sign that will say traditional services at 10:30. Now, it may be traditional, and that may not be wrong, but the bottom line is what's authoritative is what God has said. So it may be that a traditional service is the one that most honors God, but it doesn't most honor God because it's tradition. It most honors God in so much as it follows what God has said in His Word. In law, we often talk about legal precedent. That is, this must be right legally now because this is what we've always done throughout the years. It's a legal precedent, so it's easier to stick with. We talk about traditional marriage. And I would be considered someone that's an advocate for traditional marriage. However, I somewhat object to that term. Because what tradition do you mean? Do you mean the tradition of Las Vegas or Salt Lake City or San Francisco or Hollywood or Nashville or Rome? What tradition are you talking about? The fact of the matter is the traditions for marriage have changed drastically in the last 10 years in this country alone. And so your bias, your feelings about marriage, your traditions for marriage, that cannot be authoritative. It's got to be what does God actually say in His Word. Now, I understand that politicians are probably not going to easily be elected if they go around talking about biblical marriage. I'm simply saying anything less than an authoritative answer for a social question is not conclusive and it cannot last because traditions can change. When it comes to people in good Bible preaching churches, they're thinking about how a church should be planted, how an invitation, which is a method, should be given. When they think about their position on the Word of God, the Bible, and what Bible is the Bible, so many of these things, whether we think it or not, go back to our conception of what we've always done. And if we're not careful, I think tradition is fine, but we can ignore the authority of the Word of God. So what's the bottom line today? The bottom line is you'll have to decide whether your authority for life, whether your authority for action is man's tradition or God's authority. Now, let me hasten to add, simply because something is a tradition at your church, for instance, does not mean it's wrong. It just means that unless you have some ethic stronger than mere tradition, you're going to have a hard time maintaining that position. You've got to bring in what has God actually said. Now, I'd hasten to add, you have to apply what God has said. There are principles in the Bible that demand application in real life, in everyday life. But if we're going to make the right decisions, whether it's in our church, in our home, or for that matter, in our world, we'll have to decide whether our main primary authority is simply what my grandfather always said and what we've always done, or whether it is, in fact, what God has said, God's word for our life.